Warning. This podcast may contain spoilers from whatever TV show or movie is mentioned. Please listen at your own discretion. Welcome to Viewers Anonymous.
Yo, what's going on? I am Scoots Bronson.
And I am S. Foster.
That's right, and you're tuning into another episode of the Viewers Anonymous podcast, where we give you our very own reviews and take of movies and TV straight out of Hollywood. My brother, we got a great one today. Very interesting pod coming up. Before we get into that, we got to get into coming soon. I look right at that video. What we watching? So you ready to do that?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it. Oh, shoot. All right, I'm all out of whack, man. So my space all small and shit. All right, we good. Had to adjust myself. What do you have for us this week, man?
All right, man. I just started this new Apple TV Plus show. I just only was able to watch one episode because I've been watching a lot of women's college basketball. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the Lady Gamecocks for taking the national championship today. So shout out to them girls in the
thank you for putting Game in there too, by the way.
Yeah, that was funny the last time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Nah, but shout out to Dawn Staley, man. She is showing everybody why she's deserving to be the top player coach in women's basketball. But I've been watching a lot of that, but I did have time to start this new Apple TV Plus show called Sugar, you know what I'm saying, starring Colin Farrell. Look, man, Colin Farrell been on one. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? This dude been busy, because if this show is out now and the Penguin's supposed to be starting in a couple of months,
he's been
putting some work in, man. Yep. But he's like this private investigator. And like I said, I think it's two episodes out, but I've only watched one episode, but shit is looking all right, man. Might be something you might want to check out. But okay. It's called Sugar. And it's on Apple TV Plus.
Nice. So to be honest, man, I haven't watched anything. I have been tuned in and glued to wrestling. Me and my oldest son, this is, you know what I'm saying, what we do every dang near every month or whenever they put out a pay-per-view, but especially around this time because it's WrestleMania weekend. So we have been catching up on all the things that we missed, all the things we couldn't watch. You know what I'm saying? Watching all of the promos and the docs that's been out, you know what I'm saying? Catching all of the, you know what I'm saying? The presses and everything. It's been WrestleMania weekend. So I have been and am still watching WrestleMania. I have it on my TV as we speak. So if you guys see me kind of lean over a little bit as I'm talking or as I'm listening, I'm watching what's going on in WrestleMania. So that's what I got, man.
Okay.
But ladies and gentlemen, today is a very, very exciting day because we get to talk about one of the most exciting times in Black history. Possibly one of the most, what could have been one of the greatest events to ever continue in Black history. If people would have been able to, you know what I'm saying, keep shit together. We're talking about the Freaknik documentary on Hulu. If you haven't heard about Freaknik or you don't know what Freaknik is, it basically started off as this Greek party between colleges that ended up turning into a cultural phenomenon based in Atlanta, Georgia. And it was something to behold. I will say that. Everybody knew what Freaknik was if you was a part of the culture. Or if you, even if you wasn't a part of the culture, everybody, I'm assuming, around that time had heard of Freaknik. At least most of the people. And not for nothing, bro. Freaknik was one of them places, like, as a kid growing up in the 90s, you knew, like, yo, when I go to school, I definitely want to go to Freaknik. You know what I'm saying? I remember my mom going and coming back with a T-shirt. It had like the spray painted people on there and shit. And it had like Freaknik and all that on there. Like, yeah. So you know what I'm saying? Everybody's parents around that time was definitely involved in Freaknik some way, shape, fashion, or whatever. Unfortunately, this documentary reveals some of the greatest moments that happened at Freaknik, and it also reveals some of the darkest moments that happened at Freaknik as well. So let's go ahead and get into it, man. Watching this documentary, what was your thoughts?
Well, I mean, like you were saying, it was something that I heard about as well. My sister, she went 1 year. My sister's 1 year. Oh my God. My sister's 7 years older than I am. Mm-hmm. What I was going to say was, I remember her going one time. I think she might have went in 95, maybe. Because she had my nephew in 96, so it had to be like 95. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you said, it was a cultural thing that, like, you know, and I'm not too far from it. Like, I'm only an hour and 15 or something like that from Atlanta. So, mm-hmm. You know, I remember hearing about it growing up. And all I really knew, like I said, was just the stories about how crazy it was. You know, a lot of booty shaking, a lot of music, just like the hugest party of black people that you could find. And unfortunately, it like you were saying, like, it was one of those things that started out as a good cause. You know what I'm saying? It started out as just people who was basically too broke to go home on spring break. Mm-hmm. Or it was people who were too broke to go home for spring break, and because you didn't feel welcome at like Daytona Beach spring break and like shit like that. So, you know, they put together something in Piedmont Park, but started out to be, you know, something where it was just a party that was, you know, a couple of people who were, you know, left back at the campus, and then those people went home, and then, yo, that's the definition of word of mouth. Like, you want to talk about, that might be the one event, and now maybe you could think of something, but that might be the biggest product of what word of mouth could do for you, because there was no social media. And like, look, you live in Dayton and you knew about fucking Freak Me. You know what I'm saying? In the 90s. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm only an hour and a half away. So it's a little different. And you like, I don't know, 8-9 hours absolutely from Atlanta. And you still, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was something that traveled so fucking far. And then just in 1 year turnaround from 83 to 84, they like doubled in numbers. Mm-hmm. And with no, I mean, there were even, you barely had cell phones then. Barely. I mean, that's when you basically almost had to be about rich. Yeah, that's when pages was popping, and you had to go to the payphone to join. Yep. So for it to spread the way that it spread it, like, I wish that we had somebody who was, you know, born in that social media age to be like, yo, like what? Like, I couldn't DM somebody, like, you know what I mean? Like, man. for it to spread, I can't think of anything. I mean, there are like urban myth that like kind of spread it, but like they ended up
I'll tell you one thing. This is how I know where you grew up and what time you grew up in. I think I asked you this before, but did y'all never have a quote unquote butt naked man in y'all neighborhood?
Not a man. There was
a crazy lady.
You know, she was crackhead. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's how I know what time like you grew up in, because I always ask, like, when anybody say like they from the hood or like they from a certain type of neighborhood or, you know what I'm saying, area, I always ask them, did y'all have a butt naked man though? Because in that time, right, I don't know if it ever happened for real or like somebody made this story up or whatever it is, but there's always this one person that's either like a crazy homeless person or a crackhead. And for some odd reason, they end up getting called like the butt naked man. Now, what happened was, I found out why he was called the butt naked man not too long ago, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not because he was like literally nude or he exposed himself. It was because this nigga was smoking like PCP and like angel dust and shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I never knew why they called him the butt naked man. So we thinking he's just a crackhead. No, this nigga is literally high on like drugs, like PCP and shit like that. So that's why he ended up, or she ended up, being called the butt naked man slash woman or whatever. I don't know what y'all called him, but we always called him the butt naked man. But he also did crack too, so he was legit a crackhead as well.
Yeah, like everybody got something, and that's another thing where it's kind of like all hoods are similar in ways. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of the same things go on. And like, and I think what I really liked about like the setup of the Freak Deep Doc, you know, just talking about the reasons why there were even HBCUs in the first place. You know what I'm saying? Just how you couldn't get, you know what I'm saying, the education in the South and shit. And so you put together all these HBCUs, you know, mostly in the South and, you know, in Atlanta. And that's how Atlanta ended up. And I think what makes Atlanta like the mecca of like Black entrepreneurship is because of the amount of HBCUs in a small radius. Right. And like a lot of the times, and this is something that I had realized.
It's also like the central hub where like hella interstates and shit go through too.
That as well. But I think it's the fact of what a lot of people don't realize, and I didn't realize this until I went to college, that a lot of people, when they end up going to college, a lot of them end up staying in the state and area for the most part. Because you know what I'm saying? It's networking. It's all about networking. So when you have a large afflux of Black colleges, and like you said, the interstate, a whole bunch of interstates go towards Atlanta, they kind of look at it like, oh shit, like it's nice down here. So what I mean is, you have a lot of educated Black people who went to the HBCUs. Man, you know what? It's nice down here. There's a lot of opportunities. I'm just going to stay here, start a business here. I'm going to raise my family here. And so it became this Black mecca of, you know, because like the thing is, like, there's a lot of Black people in fucking Louisiana. There's a lot of Black people in Florida and Mississippi and Alabama. But none of these places are like Atlanta, though. Like, they don't have – so Atlanta got, like, what, four HBCUs? Four or five?
They got like seven or eight.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many of them.
They got a shit ton of HBCUs, but it's more than just that, though. The HBCUs play a part, you're right. You know, when people go and, you know what I'm saying, they go to college, they tend to stay there and, you know what I'm saying, get jobs at that place and end up living at that place. But what's more important was the fact of, it's not just the school population, right? You also got to think of the political landscape at the time, right? You had like Black mayors, you had Black governors, you know what I'm saying? Like Black Congress people coming out of Atlanta who were getting voted in and actually representing the people of Atlanta, right? Then also you had to remember that a lot of the businesses in that place were also owned by Black people as well. So it's not just the, you know what I'm saying, like as much as you have all these HBCUs, this is literally like the Black mecca at the time. Well, it still is kind of. But this is like the Black mecca because the businesses are owned by Black people. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the houses are owned, you know what I'm saying, by Black people. It ain't really a lot of projects in this situation. It's a lot of houses and shit. It's a lot of land being owned. You know what I'm saying? Like Black people are really in a space to actually, you know what I'm saying, build wealth and create, you know what I'm saying, circumstances where families can go and actually thrive and have a middle class or upper class and live in these places and still be able to be involved in cultural situations. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's you. I'm sure you can go through places in Atlanta where you're going to feel 1,000 times more comfortable than you are anywhere else as a black person. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody looks like you. Even the people higher up look like you. The cops look like you. So everything about that, it feels like home. And I think that when people went down there to visit or for vacation or whatever the case may be, they seen that and was like, yo, I also want a piece of this. So then you get that influx of people coming in, also living there, also, you know what I'm saying, getting their shit straight and doing anything. Then you also got to remember that you got black doctors, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got black nurses, and then you got black dentists, and it's all of these occupations that you would usually see, and no offense to anybody, but you would usually see a white face in. Black people are holding these positions, you know what I'm saying? Black judges and that type shit. So now, once, like I said, once you get there, you feel comfortable there. You know what I'm saying? This feels like they said in the doc, like, it feels like a Wakanda for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel like you're a part of this, even when, you know what I'm saying, you really may or may not be. And I think that's what ultimately led to this being something that was possible. You had mentioned the whole word of mouth thing. You got to remember this too. With the HBCUs, especially with the Freaknik, right? The HBCUs was a big thing because of the Greek life. And I don't know how many people, like, you know, well, you probably know way more than I do. But Greek life is like a major thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is something that carries on with you, like, well beyond school. Like, you know, in your professional life, in your personal life, you know, these are people that you call your brothers or your sisters, and these are people that you count on and know for years and end up technically being family. And so I'm not sure, like, how much is, you know what I'm saying, like, something where you're from, but where I'm from, if you was a part of the Divine Nine, especially in the 90s, like, you was that nigga. Like, you, or if you was a female like that, like, you was one of the ones. So I can imagine how much more amplified that was in the rural South, and, you know what I'm saying, like, where you guys are from. So, especially with it being so many HBCUs there. Only reason I know is because we have two HBCUs here with Central State and Wilberforce, and they damn near right across the street from each other. But I remember going to parties and doing everything and going to Central State and seeing how serious it was for these people who, you know what I'm saying, had pledged and got online and, you know what I'm saying, end up eventually crossing over and doing their thing. And, you know what I'm saying, the connections that they would have and the people that they were able to, you know what I'm saying, work with and talk to. And, you know what I'm saying, I know that's like times 1,000 down there in Atlanta with, you know what I'm saying, all of the places that's down there that they can go to and connect and talk to. And so now you got, like you said, you got all of these people who stay, you know what I'm saying, for spring break. They don't want to go down to Daytona Beach because, first and foremost, it ain't really us friendly. You know what I'm saying? That ain't really our scene. And then this, the one thing that I wish they would have mentioned was Bike Week. They never mentioned Bike Week. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, in Atlanta, you know, you just, especially with us, right? Throwing a barbecue ain't shit. We gonna throw a barbecue. Like, that is, you could start a barbecue whenever. That motherfucker turned into a party ASAP. You get the right people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I done throw many of barbecues, and that motherfucker done turn into a full house party. So I'm sure doing that shit at the park and then just having a bunch of people, you know what I'm saying, playing music and all that, it's gonna turn into that. The dope part about it though was that, like you said, the word of mouth, right? Imagine that, like you said, you too broke to go home. You hear about this party, everybody that's staying on campus or whatever, and we all come together and we had this dope ass party in this park, everything cool, we all kicking it, we doing our thing, and they like, yo, next year we gonna do it again, we gonna make it bigger, make it better, da da da. When everybody else come back to school, bruh, y'all missed it, man. We had this dope ass party, bro. We was in the park, man, all week long, bro. It was the girls was out there. It was some girls from Spelman out there. So I can only imagine just how easily that word of mouth spread. So now the people that's going home, they like, hold on, next year, I don't know if I'm gonna go home, bro. I might stay, see what the party like. Because you already know how it is when the alphas throw a party. You already know how it is when the Qs throw a party. You know what I'm saying? When Iota throw. So imagine everybody coming together and this one big party. Now, fast forward to the next year, it's bigger, it's better. Everybody there. All them people that was going to go home, nah, I ain't going to go home for spring break this year, bro. I got to go to Freaknik. I got to see what that's like. Now it's something grandiose, you know what I'm saying? Like, now it's a thing. So I can definitely see how fast that spread around, especially in school. Things spread around fast in school.
But the thing is, like, it with 1 year, from 83 to 84, you already start having people who wasn't even college students going.
Right.
Like, that's how crazy it was. Well, but okay, let me rephrase that, because crazy, we ain't even got crazy yet. That's just how amazing the cookout was, basically. Mm-hmm. Was just like, yo, man, we had a great time in Piedmont Park, man. We had music, we had food, you know, people was dancing, nobody got shot. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, that's what I'm saying. It was just a good time.
Yeah, that whole getting shot shit is like recent. That nobody was getting shot at. No barbecues or nothing, no clubs or nothing. We didn't do all that shootout shit. It might have been a few fights, but it wasn't never no shootout shit.
Yeah, and I think that the people were just like, yo, man, that sounds cool. Like you said, everybody on campus. But the thing is, everybody that was there, they told everybody on campus, and then everybody on campus and people who were there told everybody from back at home, like, man, you know, we had spring break, man, couple months ago, man, we had this thing, man. We're gonna do it again next year. Then, like I said, people who ain't even college students, it's like, shit, I wanna go. You know what I'm saying? And then everybody just starts showing up, and it's just one of those things where something that was so small, so minister, just started out to be just a large cookout. And then the crazy part was the name Freaknik didn't even come from what we know it for.
Right.
We always thought it was just a freaky shit.
Yeah.
And all it was it Chick? What's that? Chink? No, what's that Le group Chic. Called? Le Chic.
Yeah.
They come out with a song called Freak Out.
Yep.
And they took the word freak out, freak, and picnic and put it together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Freaknik came from. So it didn't have nothing to do with no booty shaking, none of that shit. That shit didn't come to Luke, fucking came over here. Luke turned it out, man.
As he always does.
And he said he did. He was like, yo, like he said, it didn't get freaky until I got up here.
As he always does.
But the reason he did, because he was like, yo, which is so wild, Miami didn't even fuck with Luke like that.
We were, yeah.
And he was like, yo, he was like, they was playing our shit in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, you know, when he heard about the damn Freaknik, but what really, so the two things, from my understanding, that really, I mean, don't get me wrong, the word of mouth, yes. But the two things that really kind of took that shit to the next level, in my opinion, tell me if you agree, was number one, the Luke factor. But number two, when they said that shit on a different world. When they said that shit on a different world, and then with that mixture of Luke, because the different world, which was, you know, a HBCU TV show spinoff of, spinoff of the Cosby Show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Knowledge. Yeah. So they, you know, they say it on there a few times, and then all of a sudden,
everybody,
you know, with
to figure out what Freaknik is.
Yeah, and everybody trying to go. So you don't think you
time,
think it's,
by that time, nigga, Freaknik done been popping for a minute. So I mean, yeah, it helped, but I think that was just more so getting the recognition that it deserved from. You know what I'm saying? Like, just for what it was, as far as a different world goes. Because one thing about, like, a different world is you also have to remember it was a spinoff of the Cosby Show, but it was also Bill Cosby's project. And if you know anything about Bill Cosby, like, he's a straight laced motherfucker. And we know why he ended up having to be a straight-laced motherfucker, because he was doing some dirty deeds, you know, behind the scenes. But yeah, like certain shit on a different world just didn't, you know what I'm saying, work right. Like, if you ever heard like the behind the scenes shit about that, if you remember, A Different World started because I think Denise was the one who ended up going to Hillman. And I think she was only on there for like maybe a season and a half, maybe not even that long. And then next thing you know, it becomes its own entity, right? And Denise is back on the Cosby Show. So for A Different World to say anything about it, it had already been like this thing that was bubbling. And they just, you know what I'm saying, got a chance to kind of like shout it out and say something about it. But I think that Luke coming there and the emergence of hip hop is what really took it off. Like, that's what really made that shit go to the next level. Because you have to remember what was going on around that time too. Not only was Freaknik becoming like this major thing, so was Southern rap, especially in Atlanta. Like, with the whole Dungeon family and everybody that they got affiliated with them. Then you also got to remember Jermaine Dupri got So Def. So, like, along with all of this other shit that they got, the entertainment in Atlanta is starting to bubble and starting to get its just due as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, Criss Cross is one of the most popular, you know what I'm saying, one of the most popular rap groups. TLC is a major group going on, you know what I'm saying? As much as you don't really know, but, well, I don't know if you know, but a lot of people don't really know, like, Jermaine Dupri had a lot to do with putting that together.
Jermaine Dupri, it was Atlanta. Yeah, Chris, because he brought up Criss Cross and Escape. Like, those was like the two groups that really,
you know what I'm saying? So it's a bunch of people, and then, you know, you got Goody Mob, you know what I'm saying? Outkast is on the way soon. So it's like a bunch of motherfuckers that's out there doing their thing. They just ain't getting that recognition yet. And Freaknik was really like the thing that kind of worked in tandem with Atlanta becoming that big, you know what I'm saying? Like, as big as they are in music now. But at the time, as good as they were getting that recognition through shit like Freaknik. So, like, that's, to me, I feel like hip hop is what really brought that shit up. Like, I get it, there's on A Different World and all that, but by the time like 91 came, that shit was past that school shit. So really, the next year it was past that school shit. It really wasn't no school. I mean, people was coming from all over in different schools, but you got to realize too, they may not have mentioned it, but you think that first fucking you think that first fucking year, like, niggas from the city ain't see that and was like, yo, it's a big ass party going on down the street, man. I'm about to go check this motherfucker out, and, you know what I'm saying, see what it's like, see what's going on. I'm sure they always had people who wasn't in college or affiliated with college there. Because, I mean, when you in a place like that, you in a public setting, and people driving past, they gonna come see what that shit is about. If you see a whole bunch of black people gather around, you gonna go see what that's about. And you smell food, I'm there.
No, I'm agreeing with you, but, you know, the thing about, first of all, let me address this. You're right. I'm pretty sure there were people who was just driving down the street or even just going to the park just on some regular shit. It was like, damn, look at all these black people, all these young black people. You smell their food? You know what I'm saying? Let me go see what this is about. But also, the rap scene, because, see, like, a lot of that shit really comes to the 90s, because Criss Cross was 92. Right. And the Escape was 92.
Right.
So the Freaknik was already starting to have this boom, because Outkast ain't really break yet. Like, they were, you know what I mean, heard around the way. But the thing is, the issue was, and, you know, this is what's so great about the NWA Straight Outta Compton movie, which we didn't talk about this when we covered that, was, you know, Dre and Yella. I mean, the dude was busting their ass when they started playing some rap shit. They were like, yo, we play R&B. Like, that's what we do. Like, nobody listens to this rap shit. Like, my man really, got mad.
R&B, they was playing disco.
Yeah, it was like disco and R&B records. It was like, that's what the shit was. Like, so, like, even the Atlanta station. And then they said that not until like 92-ish. They had one night, Friday night. And they was like, it was like after hours type shit where they would play hip hop stuff. Like they just did not play hip hop stuff. And then when, if they did, it was an Atlanta artist. It was some Biggie shit. You know what I mean? Some stuff like that. So when when Jermaine come through, you know, being L.A. Reid's son and all, you know, L.A. Reid got LaFace and all of that. And so Criss Cross come, they're a big deal immediately. Escape come, big deal immediately. And so then they started getting these people to perform there. But the one thing that I love the most, and I really wish that, you know, some of these people who are rapping, this goes back to where comedians, where some, and not all comedians feel this way, but some comedians feel a way about like the internet comedians. For the simple fact of like, yo, we had to literally do open mic nights. You know what I'm saying? We had to, you know, Apollo or, you know, whatever the case may be, man, you had to go on open mic nights and hopefully somebody would fuck with you in the little 10, 15 minutes that you would get on stage. Right. And you know what I mean? Then you had to go from, you know, either sleeping in your car, traveling, sleeping in your car, if you got enough to get a hotel room or whatever the case may be, to now you can just turn on your phone, say some funny shit, you getting clicks, and next thing you know, you becoming a star. Mm-hmm. That one part when they talked about, now, y'all got to understand, like, that first Outkast album, for it to do what it did for them being in the South, and the way that they marketed it was crazy. They was like, yo, they put all of their money into making these sampler tapes, mm-hmm. where you would have, what they say, Sustain Catalytic playlist.
You would have like one or two singles. You would have maybe like an instrumental on there.
And they had a couple of snippets on the B side. And so what they were doing was they was passing out these tapes at the Freakney.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And it was like people would just put them in their cars and just play that shit right out the rip. And then it was like, oh, man, you know what? You know, they had a little sample of you get up and get out and get something. They was like, man, you know what? I only heard 30 seconds of that song. That shit sound hard. So you know what you got to do now? You got to buy the album now. You know what I'm saying? Like for you to hear the whole song, it's like now you got to buy the whole album. And for them, and the way Mark Lamont Hill set it up, he was like, yo, this is the only way that you could get a whole bunch of black people in the same age group at the same place at the same time from different parts of the country. That's how Outkast was able to become as big as they was so fast and to even win at the fucking Source Awards, because it was really because of the Freaknik. You got people from all over, you know what I'm saying? New York, Cleveland, fucking, you know what I'm saying? Detroit. Like, all these people are driving to one place. All these people who are similar, even though you from different parts of the country, but y'all are in the same age group and you're similar, and you all, you know, in tune to, you know what I'm saying, the rap scene. And he's like, oh, we got this local artist down here called Outkast, you know what I'm saying? Check out the sampler tape. And then you listen to it, and you're like, you know what? This shit is fire. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, they sell a million records. And that goes along with the word of mouth thing. But at the same time, I can understand how comedians and some rappers are like, yo, like, what we had to go through to get on, they didn't even play them on the radio. Y'all got a gold mine of musical geniuses in fucking Atlanta, and they didn't even play them on the radio. You had a guy in Luke who changed fucking music in Miami, and his own city didn't fuck with him.
United States.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He's the reason why we got the explicit shit on the motherfucking cities in the first place.
He's the reason why we got a lot of motherfuckers.
Yeah, so I can get it, man. I'm not mad at the people. You know what I'm saying? Because I mean, we are taking part in it at the same time with being able to, you know what I'm saying, to do a podcast.
What you talking about, you like them people that talk about how easy motherfuckers got it now?
Yeah. That's
cap.
No, not easy. No. What I mean is it was a whole lot harder to be heard.
That's cap.
I don't believe it.
I can easily tell you how it's cap. The one thing that, just think about this, right? The reason why people talk about how much harder it was to be heard on the radio is because, first and foremost, it wasn't no rap playing on the radio. So it ain't like rap was being played on the radio and then like this group was being played, but this group wasn't being played. No, wasn't nobody being played on the radio. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it ain't like... Yeah, it ain't like somebody was out there and was like, man, we've been trying to get on this motherfucker, bro, and they'll never play our shit. No, they don't play nobody's shit to rap. Goody Mob wasn't being played on the radio. Criss Cross wasn't really being played on the radio like that. TLC was barely getting played on the radio. So even to this day, they got cuts of TLC songs where Left Eye is cut out of rapping in them. So yeah, rap was just, that's just what it was. Rap wasn't barely being played on the radio like that. Now, when you put it over to today, they can't say that it's easier, because it's nowhere near easier. Because you got to build a fan base. So you already got to have that fan base built before they even get a chance to see you. So if you a motherfucker who could just rap, you could rap your ass off and make great songs and all the other shit. If you don't have the fan base, they not even going to look at you. And even then, if you try to go independent, that's going to be 1,000 times harder, because, yeah, everybody could download your link and do all this other shit, but if ain't nobody following you, who going to listen to that shit?
That's true. But it's easier to make music now than it was
then. That's cap too.
No, it ain't, man. You know how much that fucking... Cap. You know, dude, we can make an album right now.
We could have made an album phone. In 96.
No, hard. You couldn't.
Yes,
no,
you could.
Couldn't. No, you couldn't. Not if you didn't have people to pay for fucking studio time and shit like that. A lot of people couldn't afford those soundboards and all that.
Listen, all that shit is cap. You never needed studio time. You know how many times niggas done rapped over some shit with a stereo and then played the instrumental on this side and then went out and made tapes? My cousin used to do it all the time. That shit was never hard.
Dude. I don't agree. I disagree.
Niggas ain't even in the studio now.
I know that. I said the studio equipment, man.
Niggas don't got studio. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Niggas don't got studio equipment now, and they making songs. I got a nigga right now.
That's what I said. That's what I said, Scoops. I said in the 90s, you couldn't. You had to have a mic. You had to go out and buy a mic.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Ain't no way.
I'm trying to tell you. No, it did. No, you didn't. I've been in studios before. For a long time, since I was a little kid, I'm telling you, you didn't need a studio to make music.
I didn't say you need a studio. I said studio equipment, man.
I'm talking you that even then you didn't need it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You didn't need it.
All right, I'll let you.
If you had a dual deck boombox, you could just as easily record yourself rapping. And do the same. I'm telling you, it was never that hard, bro. It was never that hard. Now, what was hard was getting a deal. If you're talking about getting a deal, that's something totally different, right? Getting signed and doing all that shit. Absolutely. That shit was tough. But as far as like just making the music, no, that shit wasn't hard.
Like I said, I don't know.
All the time. And you also got to remember, we talking about a time where, yeah, niggas was rapping. But rap wasn't even popular then. Niggas hated rap at that time.
This I know. But what I'm saying is you can't.
So a lot of niggas wasn't even getting in no studio.
Like you said that you could take an instrumental and then, you know, do this. You can't use that. Because that's not your song. Now, I don't remember when the copyright shit got off.
That's a recent thing. That's a recent thing. That ain't even, that's a recent thing.
How recent are we talking?
Huh?
How recent are you talking?
What, 2000s?
No, man, I'm talking about there's no way they had copyright shit in the 90s, in the late 80s. They had to.
Go look up that sample law. I'm telling you, go look up that sample law. It was just in the early 2000s that people was getting sued for that. That wasn't something that they was doing before. If that's the case, it would never be no hip hop. Because that's how early hip hop is samples. Biggie would have been got sued. All of them niggas would have been got sued. We would never have Juicy. We would never have Today Was a Good Day. It's a bunch of songs we would never have because all of that shit is samples. Everything in the early 90s, 80s, late 70s, all of that shit is samples. They took disco records, found a break. You know how the shit go. It's all sample. Ain't none of that shit original music.
Well, everything is sampled, but from what you're saying, that ain't sampled. That's just basically stealing somebody's whole song exactly the way that it is, and then you rap it over.
Have you ever heard Today Was a Good Day?
Yeah, I heard it. It's not the same song in the loop, though. That song got two beats.
It's a sample.
Yeah, you said take the record and just rap over it.
Nigga, have you ever heard of fucking Juicy?
What I'm saying is there's pieces of soup. Like it's sequ- it's not a flow of the record. Like when you said so take a song Juicy. And you rap over, I have heard Juicy.
That's it's the what same I'm fucking th- thing. They took they took those lyrics off and they put Biggie's lyrics on there and maybe slowed it down a bit. Nigga, that's the same fucking song, bro.
Look, man, we'll agree.
They even kept her ad-libs in Juicy. What are you talking about?
Well, a lot of people can add. Anyway, agree, disagree. I just don't think it's the same. I do not think it's the same. That's just my personal opinion.
It's the same amount of difficulty, bro. It's the same amount of difficulty. Ain't nothing different, bro.
I'm saying it's not.
Ain't none of that shit different.
What I'm saying is there's different. What I'm saying is, Outkast had to do what they had to do to get on.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
I can't even think of nobody new. Fucking Rod Wave or some shit. I don't know. His shit is okay. Completely different.
Real quick. I'm gonna tell you how much of a cap that is as well. The difference between now and the difference between then, right? Now you have to do everything yourself. You have to promote yourself. You got to find a way to market yourself. You got to find a way to do all that, right? Then niggas had street teams. So niggas weren't even promoting themselves. You had a group of niggas who went out and promoted for you. They don't do that no more.
Yeah, they use social media.
That's my point, though. There's no guarantee that you're going to do anything on social media, just like there was no guarantee that street team putting up a flyer was going to get anybody to your show. That's what I'm saying. It's the same fucking thing. None of this shit is easier. If it was easier, you'd have a bunch of niggas that don't nobody know, ain't nobody ever heard of, popping up every day. We don't get that. It may be No, we don't.
We do. First of all, we got too many. And this is another thing. Oh, we got to get off this. But like another thing is like, to me personally, people had. I think in those times you had to have talent. Now you don't.
No, you gotta have talent.
I don't think you gotta have talent. Yo, did you hear? Okay, I'm not gonna do this.
No. Did I hear what?
Man, did you hear that one of those new Sexy Red songs was she singing?
I mean, I don't listen to Sexy Red, no, but she has exactly what she needs to be in the position she's in. Because I can tell you this. Everybody can't do that.
Nah, everybody can't do it. But what I'm saying is, today it seems like we have more untalented people than the people who had to do the certain things that they had to do to get on back then.
That's the same thing they were saying. Dude, that's the same thing they were saying in the 90s when hip hop was out.
Dude, that just like when Meth was talking about, he was like, dude, we used to jump on flights. Like, they like, we didn't even have money to even get to the next city. And we had to basically.
They still like I said, ain't nothing changed. I don't understand. This is my point. This is the shit that I'm talking about, bro. This is what I'm saying. Ain't nothing changed. Same thing with the comedians. The comedians used to go and do stand-up and all this other shit. Yeah, because you didn't have no other avenue besides TV, because the whole point of doing stand-up was to do what? Get a TV show, right? And then you good to go. You get a few specials, you get you a TV show, you can eat off of that. That was the whole game plan. That was the whole blueprint. Now, you don't have to do that. Now, you can just get on there and be funny, but you got to be funny. So, in order to be funny, you know what I'm saying? You can get on there and you can run up the check on YouTube. You don't have to get on TV no more. You just got to get your shit popping on YouTube. It's the same fucking thing in a whole different fucking breakdown. Ain't none of this shit changed. Because if you ain't funny, you just ain't funny. I don't give a fuck what they talking about, all that other shit. If your shit ain't funny, it ain't funny. You could sit there and laugh at your video as many times as you want to. But if a million people don't laugh at that motherfucker, what's the difference? Then a million people not laughing at you on stage. The only difference is that it's more money in this YouTube shit because that's the new thing. Just like everybody was fighting to get on Comic View. Everybody was fighting to get on Def Comedy Jam. All these same things because that was the new thing. It was more money than just going to the nightclubs. All of this shit is the same, bro. None of this shit is new. None of this shit is different. There's no difference. It's not harder. It's the same situation. You just got to find a way to maneuver it. The motherfuckers that's always talking about, oh, they got it easy. No, you just don't got the talent to do what they do. Plain and simple.
We'll agree, disagree. Because I agree with you, but I don't fully agree with you. And I think you agree with me a little bit, but not mm-hmm. fully. I just think it's just that. So anyway, because now we got to fast forward the shit. The shit got out of fucking control. Because now what you end up getting is you got, and they use TLC for an example. They said Left Eye, you know what I'm saying, was on the video with a fucking condom over her eye and shit. Basically, they were saying women took it as in you shouldn't feel bad to, you know, want to have sex and all this type shit.
It was a chance for them to freely express themselves.
Yes.
However they chose to, and without having any type of retribution.
Exactly. And not being judged for it. Exactly. And so now you got this whole thing where, you know, where people are using the sexuality, not sexuality, but sexualizing these women and stuff, which I'm not going to do the victim shit, because like I say, I think that this was just women that was going out there to have fun. You know what I'm saying? Booty shaking was a thing, all that type shit. The Daisy Dukes, coochie cutters. All that type of shit. Like that's what it was. Like it was, you were there to have a good time. And if you want to have sex, you can have sex and you don't feel bad about it. But like I spoke about on a Roadhouse episode, dudes will fuck up everything. Cause now the dudes out here, they can't handle themselves. There's too much booty shaking out here. Now they just groping women, fucking grabbing them, pulling them to the alley. But they said, man, there were people pulling girls in the vans, all types of shit. And fucking basically raping these girls and groping these girls. And it's like, here we go again, where it's like they'll come in and take full advantage of, like, because you even had girls who was like, yo, like, if I want, that was like, yo, it's our choice this year. Like, if we want to take a man and, you know, have sex with him, it's going to be my choice. You know, this, that. And then, like I said, you got women up here. They pulling up. You know what I'm saying? And those were the Bush days. You know what I'm saying? So you weren't even seeing anything, really. They raising up their skirts. How are you seeing as a fucking bush about this month? But like, you got dudes pulling their dick out. Like, it turned into a complete freak off. Like, to the point where, you know, you had the one girl, man, I forget what her name was. I'm sorry. When, you know, when she spoke about, you know, when she got her incident sexually assaulted.
That was at the tail end of all this shit.
Yeah, that was like the 90s.
This is the one thing, because I know you said we had to skip and fast forward, but this is the one thing that was super important that we had skipped and fast forwarded. It was in 96. 96 was the year it all went downhill. And that's because of the Olympics. And when Atlanta was chosen to become the city of the Olympics in 96, the city turned its back on Freaknik.
Not just Freaknik. Now, I didn't watch. I just remember somebody talking about it. So, Lil Baby had a documentary on Prime. Mm-hmm. And so his mom and his family was affected by that, because like what they did was, well, when it comes to just the city of Atlanta, is like, and they're even talking about it in BMF. Like there's one project where they had these people, I forget what they called them. I just watched BMF and I forgot what they called these people. Well, it's like they created this police force to clean up basically these projects and shit, because anybody that was close to downtown Atlanta, they was trying to clean that shit up.
Right.
So they relocated a lot of black people because of the Olympics was coming. So it wasn't just the Freaknik. It was like the black people who live near the hood, they were fucking with them as well. And like run, like pushing them out because they was like, yo, we got all these people coming in from different countries and stuff like this. We want our city. We want them to see the best part of our city. And y'all aren't the best part of our city. So those people ended up really getting shitted on. But like you were saying, also the Freaknik as well, because I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to shut up because I didn't mean to cut you off. That whole scene, when them motherfuckers was on fucking 85 and 75, and they wouldn't let them off the exits. So you got people who ain't from here. There's no GPS. There's no phones.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All you know is, yo, you're going to – basically these people who – like, yo – you're going to drive down this interstate, boom. And you're going to, when you get to Atlanta, you're going to take this exit. And it's like, now you reroute the people.
Where it's a map. Because if not, you fucked up.
You fucked, period. Yeah. Like, that was fucked up. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But no, you. I'm glad you said that, because that leads into the point that, you know what I'm saying, I'm trying to make, was the fact that, you know, once the Olympic Committee chose Atlanta, Georgia, you know what I'm saying, for that time, that's when everything started to go haywire, right? Now, Freaknik was cool. Freaknik was great, and it was a thriving thing for the city until you get to this point that we're at now, because it was bringing in millions of dollars. You had people coming down and investing money and spending money and, you know what I'm saying, frequenting businesses and doing all of these things and getting people money. But here you go. You got some people in some places talking about, oh, well, you know, Freaknik coming, so I'm just going to close my business down, which was crazy. I don't understand why the fuck you would do that when you got all of these people who got money that you could sell your product to. But whatever. Never made sense to me in that, when I heard that part of the doc. But, you know, you had these people who was coming down, spending money from all of these different places. So around this time, you had an influx of income in that city. You know what I'm saying? Now that they choose to bring in the Olympics, you got people getting, like you said, getting cut off. They can't get off on this exit. So now it ain't none of that. And so what do you end up being left with? You end up being left with kind of a shitty situation. The people that's there, they, you know what I'm saying, they can't really do shit, so they really don't want to be a part of it. So now it's a whole stain on this year in Freaknik. So the next year, you got people like, well, shit, nah, I ain't going, man. Them motherfuckers was tripping last year, bro. It ain't the same. These motherfuckers bugging. And what do you get left with? You get left with the fucking miscreants. You get left with the motherfuckers that's still trying to keep the party going. And who is usually the people that's still trying to keep the party going? Old motherfuckers that don't, they be out of tune with everything. So yeah, you got girls out there still dancing and shit. She 30 years old, and you got a 50-year-old man groping on her. That's usually how shit works. Y'all fucked it up when y'all brought the Olympics there. To me, that's what I seen. The Olympics fucked all that shit up. Because this could have been something that could have kept going and been something greater. This could have been something that the city could have worked with them with, and they could have contained it. But they didn't do that because they really didn't give a fuck. They knew that it was making them money. Then when the Olympics come, they knew what that money was going to bring. So they was like, oh, yeah, boot this shit the fuck out of here. Instead of really thinking, let's take Freaknik here while we have an Olympic committee here. And then after the Olympics leave, then we'll bring it back here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you, to me, that was a situation where they could have did something with the local government. They could have did something with, you know what I'm saying, the local police and everything else. And they really could have contained that and really made that something that would have been like, imagine if they would have came together and worked on that and really did some shit, bro. Like, imagine how fire that would be. Like how in Miami you go to Daytona, or you go to Daytona Beach in Florida, and it's known that it's spring break. Like, motherfuckers is in Daytona like, yeah, this is, you know, this is a seasonal thing. And they loving it. They got shit open. They done found out shit how to use, and, you know what I'm saying, during for spring break, yo, we going to get a whole bunch of waters. We're going to get a whole bunch of towels and shit. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get some extra boats. So, you know, they're going to rent out the boats and all that. If they would have did the same thing in Atlanta, that shit would have went crazy. Imagine if Atlanta, the Freaknik, was like the official spring break for, you know what I'm saying, whatever, whoever. At that point, at this point, it done got to the point to where it don't even matter if you go to college or not. This is just the official spring break. And I think that once the Olympics fucked that up, bro, that's when all of that other shit start happening, because now it's like anybody can come to this motherfucker now. It ain't because you got to think about what it was before. Like, imagine being a weirdo trying to get through all that shit. Like, imagine this dude in the 67 Chevy playing his music. You over there grabbing on some girl and she's screaming help. You think them niggas ain't going to get out and beat you the fuck up?
True, but I think it was starting to get out of control. Even when they showed 95, I think 95 was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. So that was before, you know, the Olympics got there. I think that it was starting to get that way, because even somebody said it on the dock, he was like, yo, when the street dudes and the drug dealers started coming, that's when it kind of, you know what I'm saying, made the flip, because now you don't really have the people who were, you know, actually, you know, in college and actually, you know, thinking of their futures, because they knew, look, they had that one news report on that. It was like, yo, it was like the Freaknik, like it was either $40 or $50 million that was brought to the city of Atlanta.
That's what they say.
So, and that's why I said, and a lot of this shit was cash handout. You know, people were selling shit exactly. On the streets and shit.
That's what I said. That's what they
so
say.
Yeah. So it had to be even more. That was probably money that was just considered in an actual
probably $40 or $50 million on the street alone.
That's what I'm saying. And like, because everybody had cash. And then, you know what I'm saying, we didn't get to really get into the rim shop. We were supposed to have that conversation when we talked about music. But then, you know what I'm saying, entertainers started coming. You know, they showed Biggie performing. They showed Chris Cross performing. They showed Craig Mack came down to perform. Luke, obviously, we know Luke performed.
I got a quick question, though. When you get What's done, up? I got a quick question.
Okay. But, like, they say that, you know what I'm saying, that the Freaknik was bringing money there. But I also think that it was when that's just like, for instance, perfect example, Above the Rim. It was just now, was the whole tournament stuff, was it funded by drug dealers and shit like that? Yes. But it's like when you start getting that type of crowd that comes in. Like there is a purpose of something that they want to happen. If it don't go down the way they wanted to go down, you know what I'm saying? You got a situation with my man, you know what I'm saying, with Tupac team lost, and my man Tupac gave him the gun, and you know, he went to go shoot.
Man, that's a fucking movie, bro. That's not real.
You thinking that shit that happened, you thinking that couldn't happen in real life. I'm not saying that it did, but
that's not real life, bro.
Okay.
That's not real life.
Okay.
It don't work like that in real life. You don't. Right. You don't. First and foremost, you're not waiting until the end of the basketball game to go grab.
Okay.
The
well, come on, man.
You're grabbing it in the middle of the game. First off, you know what I'm saying? It's not real life. None of this shit is depicted as real life. This is my question to you. Okay, you've never been a drug dealer, right?
No.
Cool. You know drug dealers, though, right?
Yes.
Question I have to ask you. You in a city as a drug dealer. You've been around drug dealers. You can kind of know how they move, right? You can kind of gauge it. You're in a city where it's a shit ton of people,
yes.
Right? You know police presence is already out there because they got to contain what's going on just in case, you know what I'm saying, some shit happened, right?
Yep.
As a drug dealer, why the fuck would you bring attention to yourself?
as the drug dealer, like this is the thing. If you're taking it deeper, the guy with the quote unquote brain, the guy that's actually running the enterprise, no.
No, I'm not talking about nigga running the enterprise. I'm talking about as a nigga with the drugs on him. Why would you bring attention to yourself?
Dude, how many times have we seen drug dealers who will do like dumb shit by like just fucking getting in their car and doing fucking burnouts and all types of shit like that?
We ain't talking about now, we talking about the 90s.
Dude, they still brought attention to themselves with some of the cars that they was in and all types of shit like that. I guess that's what I'm saying is...
I ain't talking about what kind of car you driving, because that's called profiling, so you could beat that. I'm talking about doing shit that brings attention to the fact that you're a drug dealer. Talking about crime, activity amongst a group of people who are witnesses to what the fuck you're doing. So, who do you know that has been in that situation in that time, right? As a drug dealer or a criminal or whatever, amongst a sea of people who can visually see what they're doing, who could be potential witnesses, why would they bring attention to themselves?
Because two reasons. Number one, we don't have everybody is not smart. That's just like you got good drug dealers, you got bad drug dealers, you got good podcasters, you got bad podcasters. Nobody is the same. That's number one. So you're gonna have some idiot drug dealers who are gonna do stupid shit. And also finish my point, you'll have stupid ass drug dealers who do stupid shit like pull out a gun and shoot a gun in the air. Just some stupid shit. Like that's what I mean. Like everybody's not good. That's just like you have the conversation about cops and shit. Like they'll be like, oh well. You know, cops, they risk their lives and, you know, and this and that. If something happened to you, you're going to call the cops. And they're like, yeah, but just like chefs, all cops aren't good cops. All chefs aren't good chefs. Just like all drug dealers ain't good drug dealers.
You don't have to be a good drug dealer to not want to bring attention to yourself. I'm not saying
look, you bring your logic into a situation where you can't bring logic, man.
Yes, you can. You can bring logic into that. What are you talking about? That's why the reason I'm even bringing this up is because how convenient is it in a situation like this to say, yeah, it must have been because of the drug dealers and the people like that. No, that had nothing to do with nothing. You have to remember, the police was on some bullshit at this time. I'm telling you, all this shit stems back from the government not doing their fucking part, actually having people out on the streets, monitoring and everything else like that. Then also the fact that they're not making money on any of this shit for real. That's why I said they should have came together with the people and made this a thing. They had one person to try to do it. And this nigga wanted to name it some old goofy shit. Ain't nobody calling it that bullshit. The Black Coalition of College Kids or whatever the fuck he was talking about. Who the fuck want to go to that? You know what I'm saying? Who? If I'm coming all the way from Texas, I'm not trying to go to fucking the Coalition of College Kids. What the fuck? I thought this was a Freaknik, nigga. I'm trying to come kick it and chill. Now we about to be out here with some college kids. Now I don't want to go to that bullshit. And next thing you know, that shit dies off. That's what I'm trying to tell you, bro. They killed that shit because they didn't do it properly. You keep it named the Freaknik. You get with the people that's running situations around the city, you go talk to them people, y'all come up with something, and then guess what? You work it out to where people have some type of, whether you do it like the Las Vegas Strip, whether you do it like a certain area, whatever, a certain neighborhood, however you do it, you get it and you put it in a situation, right? And like you said the shit, you said that you think the shit was happening as far as 95 went, but by that time, it had been going on for how long? And the city never got involved in it. The people never got along. I mean, like, never connected with the people that was doing this shit or throwing these events or nothing. That's the issue right there. And so now, even if you got drug dealers from Texas, nigga, I'm not about to go all the way across states, I'm sorry, and then go get arrested in fucking Atlanta. And I'm a drug dealer. I don't care. You can call it logical. You call it what you want. You don't have to be a good drug dealer to realize, yo, if I get locked up in Atlanta, it's gonna be pretty bad. I don't know the laws out here. I'm not nowhere near home. I'm not trying to bring no attention to me. I'm just trying to come out here and have a good time. Yeah, my car is fire, but that shit don't got nothing to do with nothing. Ain't what nobody getting profiled out there.
How many times have we not came on this podcast and said common sense isn't so common? You're speaking in common sense, man. Everybody ain't got common sense, man.
Like, riddle me this. Riddle me this. How many times did we hear about some gangbangers or some drug dealers or anything else doing some shit in this documentary?
You missed my point. All I'm saying is, I'm not saying it's one, as far as drug dealers engaged, I'm not saying they are the problem.
No, I'm not saying you saying that. I'm saying that because that's what they said in the documentary. They said that once they start getting involved, all of a sudden Freak Neek just start getting fucked up. And I'm saying that's, I think that's bullshit.
No, I no. Could they be a part of the problem? They could be part of it. I think for the most part, it was the older people who were showing up only to fuck something. And they were either the ugly person in their city, and they just like, it's like, you know, it, okay, right? So you have, you know, the whole thing of like, okay, right? So you say, oh, you can't turn a hoe to a housewife, right? Mm-hmm. So they was like, so what do a lot of girls do? Like, if they become a hoe in one city, they go to another city where nobody know them, right?
Right.
So you ain't really the hoe no more because you in a new city. You know what I'm saying? yeah. You got to restart. So yeah. That's just like the person who goes to the NBA or whatever. Like, dude, you grew up all your life. You were ugly, and nobody fucked with you. But then you go to the NBA. Now all these girls want you all of a sudden. Oh man. Mm-hmm. There's a bit more for me out here.
Zion Williamson.
Absolutely. What I'm saying is, a lot of these people heard about what the Freak Neek was.
Yeah.
And they were like, man, you got people freaking on the back of trucks. They fucking in the alley. People going in the vans and getting some. So they're like, hey, I ain't getting nothing in my city. So I'm gonna go down here to this Freak Neek. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna go down here. I'm 37 years old.
It's fucking cap. This is fucking cap, bro. Man, all this shit is cap. Let me tell you the best thing that America does through media. The best thing America does through media is over-sexualize black people, right? Now, they'll see a black woman dancing, shaking her ass, twerking or pee-popping or whatever you want to call it, depending on how old you are, right? They'll see that and say, oh my God, she's being sexual. Now, we know that it's a dance, so when we see it, we like, okay, then yeah, she getting down. She doing her thing. Remember, we talking about the 90s. Niggas was dancing the same way in the 90s, bro. That's how people dance. So when the media gets a hold of it, now media is like, oh my God, these sexual deviants. Look at them. They just can't control themselves. They've been doing this to us for years. So now all of a sudden they get on the media, and it's a whole freak fest going down there. Stop it, man. Stop it. That's not what Freak Neek was really like that, bro. Because if it was really like that, now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that shit didn't go down. Because I'm sure that people was out there flashing and doing all that crazy shit, and that's cool. But to say that Freak Neek was this whole fuck party and this whole big ass sim, this whole pre-orgy before shit went down, and then not go down there to Daytona Beach or Miami or any of that and say nothing about what they was doing is fucking crazy. Because to this day, you got all kind of shit that goes on around Miami and Daytona Beach spring break that has created girls going wild. It's created all kind of shit around that situation. It's created all kind of porn shit. Everything popped off in Florida in them situations during spring break, and it's created everything. And them motherfuckers talk about, what was that? Barely legal girls and all this other shit. That shit was popping off when nobody saying nothing. A whole bunch of black people get together, shake some ass, and probably smack a girl on the ass and grab a titty or whatever. and a couple dudes get groped, all of a sudden it's this whole freaky situation. Stop, man. That's bullshit, bro. It's bullshit. Okay.
Now, first things first.
Mm-hmm.
I never said that that's what it was.
No, no, I'm not talking about you.
Okay,
it's not directed towards you. I'm talking about strictly what the documentary has proposed to us as evidence. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Not towards you.
No, but what I'm saying is, and this is why it's very tough. Like I told you before, it would have been very tough for me to be like a figure like, you know, Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King, Fred Hampton, and Marcus Garvey, all this type of shit. Because the thing is, all people aren't the same.
Right.
Like, even though, like, how many times we talked about Dr. Martin Luther King when it was like, yo, people didn't fuck with him when he was here. And then when he died, all of a sudden, oh, man, he was this great man. He was this, he was that. Reviews what I'm saying is the Freaknik ain't what, like, what I'm saying is the freak, there was separate parts of it. And what I'm saying is when you put a lot of people together, this is why me personally, I don't like to be in a crowd. Like, we had this thing down here called Fall for Greenville, right? Everybody just go downtown Greenville. I'm talking about dude. First of all, if you go down there, wear the most dustiest shoes you can get. Because they're going to get beer spirit on them. People going to be stepping on your shit. It's just terrible. I'm not good in a group of people because I don't trust people. So it's very tough for me to be in an environment where you literally like sneak, you know what I mean, sliding through people. Like, that's how tight it is.
We used to have something like that called Black Cultural Festival. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay. So what I mean is people are unpredictable.
True.
So what I'm saying is, yes, it started out as one thing. But what I'm saying is there are people who went there with bad intentions. That's all I was saying. There were people out there to have a good time and party. And, you know, if a girl willing to give me the box, you get the box. But there are some people who went down there and was like, yo, I'm getting some box no matter what. No matter what it takes. That's all I'm saying. Everybody's mindset ain't the same.
I hear you. And I'm not disagreeing with that. But to think that I don't even know how to respond to that, because that's fucking crazy. Like, we go, niggas is coming to party. This has been a part of the party. This is something that's been going on forever. You get in the car, it'd be girls in the car, they be showing you their titties. The girl might be riding around her friend, putting her ass out in the passenger window, whatever. A dude might be riding around naked with, you know what I'm saying, one of them Speedos on. Who knows? All I'm saying is, it was a part of the whole get down. It became a part of the whole get down. Right? We know this. Now, the crazy thing is that the same shit was going on in what's the name? Palm Springs, wherever the fuck they was at. What's that shit called? I forgot what the shit called.
Daytona Beach.
Same shit going on Daytona Beach. Matter of fact, it was going on before it was going on in Freaknik. These motherfuckers, they got wet t-shirt contests and everything else. The only difference is that the local government in Daytona Beach is like, yo, we cool with this shit. Let's get it. Let's get in on this. We gonna sanction all this shit and make sure everything good. Atlanta didn't do it. I'm telling you, that's the only difference. And then the year after that, guess what happens? Here comes the fucking Olympics. You think they want the people from China seeing ass shaking? Why they trying to go to the fucking race? No. You know what I'm saying?
Look, dude, look, I think honestly, and I'm not trying to gas us, so I think both of us got great points.
All I'm saying is,
obviously what it was started out as, it went way left. It definitely became something else. Yeah. But I do think that it got to a point where, you know what I'm saying, where it got too big and it got too out of control to where you couldn't contain it. And
no, that's not true. It got to the point to where the government never got involved until the end. And then they start putting all of this propaganda out there to make it seem like it was all of this shit that's happening. What's so crazy about this as well, right, is out of everybody involved in this documentary, right, as crazy as they tried to make this shit seem in the end, we only seen one person that talked about an incident they were in. You didn't hear no other incident except for that one person. And you know what I'm saying? It sucks that she had to be on this documentary talking about this and instead of talking about how well of a time she had and how great of a time she had, right? Unfortunately, she really had to deal with that. And she still, it seems like she's still dealing with it to this day. So prayers up for her. And you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's something that she's going to overcome, but I'm hoping that she's coping with it, you know what I'm saying, as much as she's been, you know what I'm saying, doing her thing. But what I'm saying is they only can find one person out of all of these motherfuckers y'all talk to. But if you ever pay attention to it, pay attention to who was saying what in this documentary. And that'll tell you everything you need to know about the people who made this documentary and the narrative that they tried to put around this documentary as well.
Yeah, I do think that when there are people who are saying like it's very interesting, the people who were executive producers on this shit and the people who were involved in this, because the interviews that we got from, like, towards the end, right, when they were asking people, you know, are you coming back? Mm-hmm. All the negative people. They didn't give you anybody who had a different outlook on it. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yes, I do think that they were painting the narrative to try to say, like, yo, look, this is bad. It reflects bad on us. Even though 21 Savage's is doing his own version of the Freaknik and all this type of shit like that. He's trying to bring it back, but I still think that even with 21 shit, because he is who he is, because he invites the people that he invites, I think it's like,
and it's his birthday party.
Yeah, it's that's what I'm saying. It's not a super open, like, I don't know how regulated it is. But you're not gonna have fucking Drake and just anybody just walking through this shit, and you know what I'm saying, without the crowd being I don't know if it's like a special type of invitation that, but there's vetting. It's vetting. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's vetting. Like it's not open to the public. Listen, it's not gonna be no straight freak off.
Listen, man. You know who they had on this motherfucker talking about the fucking Freaknik, even though he claimed and talked and literally said, I never got a chance to really go to Freaknik. You got Mark Lamont Hill on this motherfucker talking about Freaknik.
Yeah.
Think about that. They have Mark Lamont Hill on here talking about Freaknik. What the fuck does this nigga know about Freaknik, bro?
Even Jermaine Dupri was like, yo, like, I ain't even really go to like 94 or 95.
Mark Lamont Hill went to the University of Pennsylvania and Temple. He was in Philly. That's why I said, pay attention to what the fuck they're doing in these documentaries. Bro, this shit, listen, this shit was made to make Freaknik look away. Okay? Like I said already, I done already made a disclaimer. I'm not saying bad things didn't happen, and I'm not saying things didn't happen to people. That's fine. What I'm saying is this. If you look at the people that are from Atlanta, raised in Atlanta, and were living in Atlanta at the time of this whole thing, right? The one thing you notice is they always are speaking good about Freaknik. You never hear them talking bad about Freaknik. Would they say it got a little crazy? Yeah. But you never really hear them talking down about Freaknik. The only people that you kind of hear talking down about Freaknik is the one nigga who still got a slick back in 2024. Right? Light-skinned older dude. You know what I'm saying? He was a councilman or city something. He had something to do with the city, or he was on the board with something. Another lady who was a teacher or a professor or something, right? And she got a certain disposition about herself. Because at first she said she wanted to go attend Freaknik. Then all of a sudden she didn't feel like going to attend Freaknik when she seen what was going on the news. And then everybody else is quote-unquote educated people. They talk about how it went from this college thing to this whole thing. But what they fail to talk to you about is how not just it went from this college party to this major event. No, what happened is the city embraced what was going on. right? This was a cultural moment for just the people. Yeah, it started as a college event, but what it eventually came was this whole union that people could come to, kick it, and have fun. And they literally tried to take that and make this shit seem like it was something totally different.
I hear what you're saying. I do think that there was an agenda there. I do not think that they, which I will get more into it in the coming soon, but I do think that there was an agenda with the people that they have on and the people that they decided to give voices to. Because I think that there's a lot of footage out there that talks about the greatness about it, is what I'm saying.
They found all of that footage from Freakneeks of Freakneek past, right? How much of that footage was of some bad shit that was a Freakneek past? Usually everything you seen was some shit that was in the fucking news, right?
Yeah.
That's my point. Like I said, propaganda. That's how they do. I guarantee you can still go to spring break in Daytona Beach, though, and go see a wet t-shirt contest.
I mean, this is true.
You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
But so you got anything else to lead off with?
Nah, man, I'm ready for the I'm ready for the fire play.
All right, let's do it, man. I keep forgetting.
Yoga fire, yoga flame.
All right, so what you giving it?
So I'm giving this doc, man. Look, I just think that it's funny. You brought up a good point. The people that decided you, I think that, you know, this, I don't think they could have did this without Luke, because he was the person that, but I also think that Luke, how do I say this? I think Luke, in a way, kind of, what's the word I'm trying to say? Like, I don't want it to seem like I'm saying like he's a sellout or something. Like, it's because it's not what I'm trying to say, but it's kind of like, I think like this kind of gives him an opportunity to kind of get people to go back to his musical in a way. Like, I don't know what I'm really trying to say, but anyway, for what we was given in this doc. And how highly I look at docs and I put them on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. It did seem a lot of one-sided in a way. And it kind of pushes me to like the 2.5. I just don't feel like, I do feel like we did get, like, I like the start of it, mm-hmm. but actually learning why it was what it was, how it became what it was, but like then at the same time I felt like there was missing pieces. You know what I'm saying? I felt like there was shit that they didn't put out there. I don't know if they're trying to hide some shit. But I also think that they didn't want to make it seem like a positive thing so that this shit don't pop off again. Mm. So yeah.
It can never.
I just think it's some blanks, man. So I'm gonna give it a 2.5.
Okay, I'm gonna give it a 3. Initially, seeing this when I first watched it, I was at a 4 until it got to the end, and I was like, nah, I gotta get this shit a 3. This could never pop off again because first and foremost, that was something that happened organically. Nobody planned that out. Nobody, you know what I'm saying, decided to make Freakneek just the big thing. It was just something that organically happened. It was some people who threw a party. The party ended up being a bomb-ass party. Shout out to the 90s. You know what I'm saying? That's the word we use in the 90s. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it ended up being this, you know what I'm saying, this super dope party that everybody ended up going to. The following year, it became an even better party, and then so on and so forth, and it grew into this like I said, this cultural phenomenon. The one thing that I didn't fuck with was, and this is one thing about documentaries that always throw me off. When they get to talking too good about some shit in the beginning, you know some bullshit coming in the end, or at least in the middle. So what I did find funny was how they were talking to all of these people from Atlanta. And for instance, you know what I'm saying, they had Killer Mike, who, you know what I'm saying, a product of HBCUs. He went to Morehouse, graduate as well. So they had Killer Mike on there doing his thing, and he's speaking of how well the city does this and how beautiful the city was, so on and so forth, only to then, you know what I'm saying, slide Mark Lamont Hill in there, who didn't do no HBCU nothing. This nigga went to PWIs, and this nigga was in fucking Philly once again. And here he comes talking about how diminutive and da-da-da and all this other bullshit. And then eventually, as you get towards the end, guess who else you keep seeing? Mark Lamont Hill. You don't see Killer Mike like that until the total end.
Yeah.
Yeah, this shit was a propaganda piece. That's what this was. I told you when I first seen it, I mean, before we even got on here, it was some shit I had to talk about on this, because I didn't really fuck with this doc, especially that second half of it. I ain't really fuck with it like that. To take something that, you know what I'm saying, first and foremost, we don't got much in this motherfucker to begin with. So to take something that we actually created and made into something fire, you ain't never heard about nobody that went to Freaknik or any of that ever, when it ever got brought up before this doc start coming out. You never heard of anybody else talk about it and talk bad about Freaknik. All of a sudden, now it's this thing to where, oh, motherfuckers is going crazy and there's all this other shit. Now everybody telling bad stories about this shit. That's how they do. That's what they do. That's the type of shit that they do. They put this propaganda out there, and now all of a sudden everybody talking bad about it. Perfect example. Everybody loved the Pimp a Butterfly. J. Cole said that the second album was a sleeper. Now everybody talking about, wow, it wasn't that great of an album. Shut the fuck up. Yes, it was. It was an amazing album. I know that was off topic. I just had to get it off my chest. But anyway, I'm giving it a 3. Let's move on to Coming Soon.
Yes, sir.
Coming soon to own on video and DVD.
Our next episode, man, we are giving flowers to one of the greatest actors of all times. Yes, and I said it, one of the greatest of all times. From TV to film to, I mean, shit, music, what haven't he done? You know what I'm saying? Maybe I mean, he might have done fashion, I don't know. But we showing love to the great Will Smith, man. This is going to be different.
It is. It's definitely going to be different. You should have started with music because he was a rapper first.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Rapper, TV, movies intertwined with music. So yeah, it's going to be interesting how we take it, especially with, you know, what he went through a couple of years ago, which I don't even think should be brought up. But,
no.
You know,
yeah.
But
he got way too much shit on his resume for us to bring like that up.
So yeah. This is, and then like I don't know, man. I think he got one this year. I know how you felt about the last one, but man, I know trailers can be deceiving. Just saying, I got a good feeling. But that's it, though.
You keep saying that, bro.
I got a feeling, man.
I keep trying to tell you what's gonna happen. You don't want to listen. I'm gonna go see it. I gotta support it. First and foremost. I'm gonna go see it. But I keep telling you what's gonna happen. Everything in the trailer is that's what you're gonna see. And the rest of it, you're gonna be like, man, I should never want to go see this shit. Just waited till this shit came out on Max. Nah, we definitely gotta go support that, man. As much shit as I talk, bro, it's dope to be able to see, you know what I'm saying, somebody of that stature, you know what I'm saying, Martin Lawrence included, bro, just be able to have a franchise like that under their belt, bro. That's beautiful. Yes. You know what I'm saying? And if anybody deserves it, bro, it's Will Smith. That nigga is a legend, an icon for sure. You know what I'm saying? That nigga made the Fresh Prince, man. Come on, man.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's what we're talking about next. Definitely giving flowers, man, to a great. So, y'all make sure y'all tune in. Y'all make sure y'all get, you know what I'm saying, on it. And we'll be there and ready and waiting for you guys. And it is going to be what it is. If you enjoyed this episode, if you didn't enjoy this episode, if you was at Freaknik, let us know. Hit us up on the socials, on Instagram and Twitter, at View and Nine Pod on Facebook, VA Pod Watch Group. You can hit us up on YouTube and comment on the videos, excuse me. And also, join our Patreon, patreon.com/viewersanonymous. $2.99 a month. That's all it is. We only got one tier. Jump in there, join it. You know what I'm saying? Get our behind the scenes episodes. And then we got some other episodes too that you guys could check out. And if you like to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter at Scoos Bronson. I got a link tree in my bio. You can find me everywhere else there.
And y'all can find me at s.foster8 on Instagram, Twitter, X, and TikTok. Follow at 28 Minutes or Less Pod on IG. Follow the podcast 28 Minutes or Less. Last episode is still, I named that shit, The Heat Is On. Yeah, will you join me on there? Got something in mind, so be on the lookout for a new episode very soon.
Nice. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for tuning in. Your support is always greatly appreciated. Without you, there could be no us. And until the next time, like they say in Hollywood,
that's a wrap.
Cut. You're talking about I already got you a visit.
No, for 2020.